I would invite you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans 8. If you're looking to use the Bible, it's in the pew. It's on page 1758. I want to start with verse 31 and then some selected verses the rest of the chapter. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also, not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And then in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And in the last few verses of the chapter, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're mindful of those words that nothing can separate us from your love for us. Through your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, regardless of what we've done, you still love us. You care for us. And Lord, be with me as I interpret this passage to the congregation this morning. In the name of the Christ, I pray. Amen. In the summer of 1978, we moved as a family of four from New Hope, Virginia, to Brownsville, Maryland, so I could become pastor of the Brownsville Church of the Brother. This move cost our family. Retta gave up a job opportunity to become a librarian in Augusta County school system, elementary school. And our two daughters, Michelle and Beth, left behind their two friends next door and their friends at New Hope Elementary School. In the move to Brownsville, the loss of a job for Retta, the loss of relationships for Michelle and Beth. To me, these losses, the loss of a job, the loss of relationships, their amputations. Any loss can be an amputation. When we talk about an amputation, we think it's a loss of a limb, a hand, or a foot, or an eye. But any loss can be an amputation. How about the loss of a family member? A marriage falls apart. A relationship breaks up. We lose a friend. There's a loss of financial security. Foreclosure of a home. Destruction of a home. Loss of a job. Having to retire. Having to move. And a loss of independence. Sooner or later, you and I, we're all going to have to deal with some kind of loss. As Christians, we are not exempt from loss, not exempt from pain. So if we're not exempt from loss and pain, how do we survive our amputations, our losses? How do we adjust? God wants us to be honest in our reactions to him and our suffering and loss. What we need to do is tell God like it is. God can take it. If it gets to the point where we're feeling a loss so much, there's nothing wrong with going out at night and raising our fist in the air and telling God what we think of him. And why can't he do more? What about Job and all of his suffering? In Job 13:3, as for me, I will speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself. And there is David, the writer of Psalm 142, as he's hiding out in a cave from King Saul. I cry out loudly to God. Loudly I plead with God for mercy. I spell out all my complaints before him and spell out all my troubles in detail. So tell it to God like it is, like what we're feeling. We want to search the scriptures. To me, the most helpful book in the Old Testament is the book of Psalms. These are people, David and others, heartfelt prayers to God. Yes, prayers of joy, but also prayers of anger, prayers of sadness, prayers of feeling a loss. And then Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The writers of Psalms, open up to God completely honest about their feelings. When we're going through a loss, here's the church. Our brothers and sisters of the faith can support us. We don't want to hear, oh, it'll get better. We just want somebody, not just somebody, but more than others, to hold our hands as we cry and let us spill it out how we feel about our loss. And oh yes, what about the Church of the Brethren Anointing Service? The problem with the Church of the Brethren Anointing Service is that we still got too many brethren thinking it's the last rites. When Grandpa's about ready to pass on, got to call the preachers and the deacons to anoint Grandpa. The anointing service is more than that. It's for healing of body, mind, and spirit. If we're going through a loss and need some support, why can't we be anointed for that? And the Apostle Paul believed that the God of Israel delights in showing up in the midst of loss. Consider the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God turns losing into gain, death into life, joy into sorrow, weakness into strength, and hopelessness into glory. Romans 8:39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The 19th century Scottish historian Thomas Carlyle spent 2 years writing a book on the French Revolution. One day he finished his manuscript and he gave his only copy to a friend, John Stuart Mill, to read and to critique. And what happened? By accident, Mill's servant used Carlyle's manuscript to kindle a fire. Carlyle was devastated. 2 years of his life, 2 years lost, thousands of long, long, lonely hours. Writing had been wasted. How could he do it again? He was deeply depressed. And then one day as he was walking along the city streets, he noticed a stone wall under construction. And that tall, sweeping wall was raised one brick, one brick, one brick at a time. Wow! The light came on for him. If he wrote one page at a time, one day at a time, he could write the book again. And guess what? That's exactly what he did. He wrote the book again. Rick Christian, in his book Alive, reflects on Carlyle's life. When faced with seemingly impossible situations, we often see the wall and not the individual bricks. But taken day by day, task by task, the load is more manageable. Christ prayed for daily bread, daily substance. He didn't worry about tomorrow, next week, or next year. God's help comes to us day by day by day. Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Here we are in the midst of Major League Baseball starting. They've already started the spring exhibition games in Florida and out in Arizona. Here's a true baseball story going back to the 1980s. Dave Dravecki was an outstanding left-handed major league pitcher and playing not only for the San Diego Padres, but for the San Francisco Giants. He was an all-star pitcher. And then in 1988, he was diagnosed with cancer in his left arm. And a year later, August 10th, 1989, he became a national hero, coming back from successful cancer surgery on his left arm to pitch again for the Giants, and he won the game. Great game. But 5 days later, Montreal, Canada, Dave Dravecki was stretched out on the pitching mound in great pain from a broken left arm. The cancer had returned to his left arm. And 3 months later, he had to retire from professional baseball. And he went through months of radiation, surgery, pain and depression. And finally, the cancer got to the point beyond his arm that they had to amputate not only his left arm, but the shoulder blade and part of his collarbone. Yes, it stopped the spread of cancer. Yes, it saved his life. But he was depressed with the absence of his left arm. He was stripped of his identity. And he began some soul-searching questions. Where does my worth come from? What creates my value and identity? Is there more to me than a game of baseball? Is there more to me than my left arm? And it took him some time. But after a long search, Dave Dravecki discovered his true worth could never be shaken by adversity or loss. He realized that nothing he did based on worldly success could place a value on his life or create his identity. And here are his words in his book, When You Can't Come Back. It was a lonely, agonizing journey, more difficult than we ever could have imagined. We experienced the heights and depths of joy and despair, faith and doubt, intimacy and loneliness. But our journey of suffering was not hopeless. Through it, we discovered the power of endurance, not in our own ability, but in the comfort and the encouragement and the hope that Almighty God provides us. But the story doesn't end there. In response to thousands of letters and requests, Dave Dravecki and his wife, Jan, established a nonprofit organization in 1991 called Endurance. Endurance, the ability to bear pain or hardship, the strength to continue despite fatigue, stress, loss, other adverse conditions. And to this day, the ministry of Endurance continues to offer provision through the journey of suffering to those of us who are facing serious illnesses, loss, or depression. Google Dave Dravecki. Check on Endurance. You can get a free weekly devotion from Endurance that gives you the inspiration for the living of these days. Amen. Merciful God, gracious God, ever-present, ever-caring God, as we make our journey through this life as pilgrims, from the time we're born to the time we die, we do go through losses. Some of them are like we're traveling through a deep, dark valley and we can't see the light of day. But through you, through searching the scriptures, the support of the brothers and sisters, the anointing service, we can move from the darkness of night, the darkest night, into the brightness of a new day. Give us the strength, give us the encouragement to go forth, to go through our losses to victory in that heavenly mansion. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.